Hey, it's me, Rashawn Ali. Happy Thursday to you. I hope you're having a fabulous day. Put a smile on your face. You made it to see another day. Why am I singing? Anyway, I'm happy, and it's a great thing. So today we are joined by a cool bruh of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. He is Q Latham. Yes, I have had the opportunity to get to know Q a lot more. He is also one of the co-hosts on the new talk show, Sister Circle, which debuts on TV One on September 11th at 9 a.m. A lot of you may know him as his character who has a blog, Funky Dineva. Yes, but I am so very happy for you to hear who Q is. And Q is sharing so much of his life, including the time his mother prompted him to tell her that he was gay. That part of the episode is very interesting. This is compelling content. It'll make you laugh, and it will make you think about who you truly want to be. So I am introducing Q Latham. Enjoy.
You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all.
I am a cool soror of
What's up y'all? I'm a cool soror of
Hi, I am a cool soror of
Podcast hosted by me, Rashawn Ali. I'm telling you, the men have been on point this entire summer. We have another cool bruh feature. I'm really, really excited. This brother has become like a brother to me because we are working together every single day. Quentin Latham joins the Cool Sword Podcast as our cool bruh feature of the week. And you are a cool bruh of
the only fraternity that matters, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
How you doing, Quentin?
I am doing well, Rashawn. How are you?
I am so
don't call me Quentin. That's
I'm gonna get into it.
Call me Q.
Q. I'm gonna get into it. You know, I had to do your government first. Q Latham, how about that?
Okay.
But people know you. We're gonna really tell people how they truly know you.
They're gonna be shocked.
Yes.
Where they know me from, because a lot of people don't know
this side of you, which is why I thought it would be so compelling to have you on the Cool Sword Podcast. Man, Miami, Florida.
Born and raised. County of Dade.
And it's crazy because you said y'all don't even really do the water like that.
No, believe it or not, when I come up here and people ask me, oh, you from Miami, why you move to Atlanta?
Right.
You be on South Beach, you be going to the beach. I was like, you know what, believe it or not, people from Miami don't go to the beach. And since I've been living in Atlanta now for 10 years, it's odd because now I'm missing the water.
Right.
But it's something that I took for granted when I lived there.
Like, yeah.
Our parents ain't pack us up on the weekend and be like, let's go lay out on the beach. That was some old rich white people stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were playing hide and seek in the yard, and you might have went to the beach two times a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. And I love Miami. I told myself one day I'm going to have me a condo overlooking South Beach.
Yes.
Hey, that's one of my goals. And like,
get a guest key.
You want to get a guest key? Right. Do you often go back to Miami? You still got family there?
So all of my family is there.
Okay.
All of my media family or somewhere in the general area. But unfortunately, I don't get to go back as often as I would like.
Okay.
I make it a point to go during Christmas.
Okay.
So I always go during Christmas. And then I'll go one time either in the spring or the summer.
Okay.
So, yeah, those just twice a year.
Yeah.
For a couple of days.
Yeah, yeah. So what actually brought you to Atlanta once you graduated from Florida State? We'll go back and forth on how, you know, you got to where you are.
Cost of living.
Yeah.
Plain
and simple.
In 2005, when a brother graduated from Florida State University, my first little job was paying $41,000 a year. You couldn't tell me shit.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't tell me nothing. I was getting my little $1,500 every 2 weeks. Well, my rent was $1,100.
Right.
Car note was $400.
Right.
Insurance was $300. Grocery was, you see what I'm saying? So when I was adding up all them bills, I was coming up in the red every month.
Yeah.
I had not been to Atlanta since I was like 12 years old. My parents brought us to the Coca-Cola factory underground when it was popping. And all my friends said, Atlanta, Atlanta. I was like, well, you know what? It's close enough to Miami that I'm going to move there. And if I don't like it, I can always
come back. Yeah.
September of 2007, I packed up my little Nissan Altima with everything that I could fit in it, moved here, and been here ever since.
Love it. Love it. Love it. How has Atlanta shaped you? differently from your upbringing in Miami?
You know, that's a very good question, Rashawn. Miami, when it comes to black people, is a very blue-collar city.
Okay.
I didn't grow up seeing professional black people, despite the fact that my father and mother are both college educated. They still had what we call a good county job. You know what I'm saying? My father was a corrections officer. My mom owned several businesses and did things in the social work field. In Miami, the black people that are driving Lexuses and Benzes and BMWs, they've been at the post office 15 years, mm-hmm. or they drive buses for Metro Dade, or they're corrections officers. But I never grew up seeing accountants, you know, lawyers, doctors, professional people. Fast forward to Atlanta, these people got titles I've never seen before.
Right.
Lawyer, executive director of community outreach. These are suit and tie professionals. And quite frankly, it showed me that, you know what, you don't have to either sell drugs or play ball
right.
to be balling.
Right,
you
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I came up here and saw suit and tie professionals that looked like me that had these big titles. So it's just reshaped the way I view myself and our people, because quite frankly, growing up in Miami, I only thought that we could be, you know, senior bus drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good living where I come from.
So what made you, you talked about you didn't see accountants, but then you went to Florida State and you majored in economics. What was it that drew you to that particular major? Was it the fact that you never saw somebody doing that growing up?
So you know what? Believe it or not, you're going to laugh at how I chose economics. I went to college knowing I wanted to either be a VJ on BET or MTV. That was my dream.
Yeah.
And freshman year, I called my daddy and I'm like, I'm finna check mass communication studies on my thing. He said, what you gonna do with that? And I said, Daddy, I'm gonna be on TV. He said, you better take your ass down there and get a business degree.
Man.
So I unchecked the box and I just went undecided. Going into my junior year, the academic advisor called me in the office. They put a hold on my registration.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that you've been undecided for so long that you've got to declare a major
something
before you go into your junior year. I came from a house where I had to get out in 4 years. That my parents didn't give a damn what the degree was in. 4 years of college, and we're done supporting you. So I said to this lady, well, what major can I do that'll still get me out of here in 4 years? And she flipped through a book and was like, well, you've taken all the classes. You fit in economics. I said, well, sign me up for economics.
It was just
biggest mistake of my life.
Really? What made it the biggest mistake?
Because it set me on a trajectory to land into a career field that was counter my personality.
Yes.
Counter anything I was about. And, you know, you're young, you're dumb. I went to college at 17 years old. So I thought life was all about competing for a corner office, wearing an Armani suit, and driving a convertible sports car.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get out in the real world, and it's like, well, in order to get the corner office, the Armani suit, and the convertible sports car, you've got to sit in this boring-ass cubicle and crunch these numbers for 12 years
yeah.
before you even get to the level where you're competing for a corner office.
Yeah.
And crunching numbers and looking at Excel spreadsheets all day just was not who I was.
How long did you do that?
In total, with the years that I did it in college while attaining the degree, 9 years.
9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And did you walk away from that? When you moved to Atlanta, what was your last job to, well, then you created a world for yourself at that point?
So, no, I was an accountant when I left Miami.
Okay.
And then when I moved here, I was an accountant.
Okay, so you did that
yes.
here. Okay.
The beautiful thing about accounting, the skill set is so niched. Like, you can literally get fired on Monday and have another job on Thursday
yeah.
because a lot of people can't do it. I also moved here during the beginning phases of that big recession we
mm-hmm.
were having. And while most companies were downsizing and letting people go, it put finance and accounting people in demand.
Yeah.
So I came here, worked for Allied Automotive, later matriculated to Cox Communications.
Okay.
Where I later got fired. And Miss Funky Dineva Ross, Maya is late, like, was born out
okay.
of that trauma. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So was it from something that happened during the layoff that did you have an alter ego that was speaking to, you know, the powers that be? Like,
so
how was Funky Dineva created?
The short of it is.
No, you can give me the long.
The short of it is, I was so miserable at work. I would get on Facebook and just talk shit about my boss And I would tell these soap operas of what was going on at work on my Facebook page.
Was it made up, the soap operas?
No, the names were made up, but the situations were real. It was shit that was going on at work.
Uh-huh.
And people would respond. I was getting so many likes. And it got to the point where people were reliant on my daily rants to get through their day.
Wow, wow.
Coupled with that, I had a set of friends. For a lot of people out there that don't know or haven't figured out by now, I am gay.
We'll get into that. Okay. Yes.
I had a lot of, once Halloween, me and my boys went out as the Atlanta Housewives.
Oh, my God.
And you can guess I was NeNe Leakes.
Right.
Okay, so that's October. Fast forward to December. I had a wig. I found a wig. I was cleaning the house, and I put it on. I took my iPhone, and I was like, yes, honey, yes. My hair is laid. Just using my phone like a camera.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. Called one of my line brothers and was like, I want you to look at something.
Uh-huh.
And the video was too long to text.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, listen, Tim, I'm going to upload it to YouTube. Take a look, and then I'm going to take it down.
Right.
He looked at it, thought it was funny. This bastard shared it to Facebook.
Right.
And when he shared it to Facebook, it went viral quickly.
Instantly.
I was mad as hell.
But look.
I was like, my people on my job on here, other bros on here, my parents on here. What are people going
to
think?
Had you come out to your parents at that point?
I had come out to my parents, but you know, it was one of those things where, you know, your parents are okay just as long as you still being a boy.
Mm,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay, okay.
Now you out here, you got this wig on and you're doing all of this that they can't fathom. You know, and I, even at that point in my journey, I wasn't comfortable with that. You know what I'm saying? I was comfortable being who I was amongst people I was comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't that comfortable being who I was with the world.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That video went viral, but I've also been the type that once it traveled, I wasn't going to take it down because the conversation was going to happen with or without the video proof.
Mm-hmm.
So since they were having it, I decided to leave it up. The next day, I was like, well, you know what? It got such a good response and people liked it. I did another video.
Yeah.
And it was called My Hair Is Still Laid. And I'm going off about the student loan people calling my phone blowing me because I was broke as hell back then.
Right, right.
You know, I'm just a little broke now, but I was a lot of broke then. And long story short, because this story does get long. Long story short, I started using the videos as a diary.
Mm-hmm.
Funky Dineva was able to say things that Q couldn't
say. Yeah.
So I have a bad day at work, throw this wig on, I would vent. Long story short, I ended up getting fired from work.
Did they see the video?
It wasn't even about the videos. It was the fact that I was so miserable at work that I wasn't performing up to par.
Right.
And I was sick 1 week, called into work, called off 4 days. On the fifth day, I told my boss, hey, I'm going to just take the Friday off and just start fresh Monday. And he said, you know what, Quentin, don't worry about it. He said, you've been out for 4 days. It creates a nice natural stopping point.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you're not happy here, so I'm going to set you free. Got up Monday morning, started fishing my resume because, again, with accounting, you can get fired on Friday, have a temp job by Tuesday.
Right.
And I had to come to Jesus meeting with myself, which went, sending out your resume for another accounting job is you auditioning for misery. You're asking someone, hey, sir, can you please pay me to come in here every day and be miserable?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, okay, YouTube extended partnership to me. With these little rinky-dink videos that I'm doing, just playing around. At that time, I think I was making maybe like $230 a month on these videos.
Right.
Unemployment equaled $1,400 a month.
Oh, I know all about it.
That yep. $335 a week, baby.
Baby, Thursday. Baby, Thursday.
$335. So I said to myself, if I can get this $1,400 in unemployment, and if I can get these videos to make another $1,500, $1,600, that's $3,000 a month. And during that time, Obama was giving us that unemployment for a good 2 years.
Uh-huh.
I said, if I can get these videos to make another $1,500, I can live off of $3,000.
Right, right.
Downsized, caught one of my pro fights, slept on his floor for 10 months, grinded with those videos. People were liking my rants on Facebook. I said, fuck it. I'm going to start a blog, too, to go alongside the videos. And Rashawn, within 6 months, I was making more money on YouTube and my blog than I had been doing in my accounting career. And I'll let you know, I was making $77 at Cox.
Wow.
So in 6 months, I was back to where I was.
And you were like, now this is freedom.
Yes, God. And it felt good, friend. Like, I remember driving up 400 every day to work, being miserable. in the verge of tears, on the verge of tears.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, being the last one to work and the first one to leave because I hated it. Because y'all folks had lied to me and told me if I went to high school, went to college, and got a degree, I'd get a good job. And life would be happily ever after.
But you still had great experiences at Florida State that you still remember and have shaped you. Yeah,
most definitely. But that career crap.
Yeah.
It was. They lied to us.
Yeah.
You know, and I even had an aunt that said to me, see, that's what's wrong with y'all young ones. Y'all talking about, I got to be happy. Where y'all get this happiness from? She said, you got to find a job you can tolerate.
Mm.
And you just go on a job you can tolerate for 8 hours. And then you got the rest of the day to be happy.
No, that's not life. But that's what life was for so many people. Our parents' generation.
Yeah. And I tried to subscribe to it. And I was like, well, you know, I am being paid more than my school teacher friends, and it does make me feel good when I go out. I can pay the tab, but I just, that money only keeps you for but so long.
It does. And some people are willing to live that entire life and be, and let money predicate their happiness, which is fine. That's the life you want to live, but I want to be free and happy.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, I'll live in an efficiency and bag groceries at Winn-Dixie or Kroger before I ever go back to corporate America.
Man.
And I mean that.
Yeah.
I'd rather be, listen, when you free, you know, I'm not money oriented, I'm freedom oriented. When you free and your needs are met, you don't need extra money. I don't need extra money for clothes. I don't need extra money for a premium car. You give me a peace of mind and a box of Ritz crackers and some peanut butter and an RC Cola. I'm a
Wait a minute. You don't want the real Coca-Cola?
I take RC. I ain't picky. I do want the real Cola, but not if it means I got to go work at somebody's boring corporate job to get
it. Yeah,
the RC
I get what
Cola
you're saying.
Do.
Yeah. I want to go back to, first, how did you come up with the name Funky Dineva?
You know what? I don't know.
It just came to you.
I was talking one day, and where I was on the video, it was a point where I needed to say, because I was like, because I miss so-and-so, and that's
it just came out,
and I stuck with it.
And it didn't mean... People love it.
People love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever get tired of delivering and being that person, or does it still bring you joy?
You know, that's a very conflicting question. The answer is yes, I do get tired, but I feel guilty at times for feeling tired about it because Miss Ross, Funky Dineva Ross, the boss, is what brought me here.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That character is what got me to where I am, so I feel guilty at
even
times.
Where we are now.
Where we're now,
yeah.
It's the platform that made it possible for Q, Quentin Latham, to be a personality.
Yeah,
Miss Ross got me here.
Yeah,
so I feel guilty at times. But the honest answer is, yeah, I do get tired of it. And believe it or not, Rashawn, you're talking to me in the middle of a career transition now. Like I'm at that point where Tyler took off his wig and stopped doing Madea and introduced the world to Tyler Perry.
Right,
the
man.
That's where I am right now in my career.
Yeah, yeah, man. Before we go there, I want to go back.
Okay.
To, you already, of course, have said, I am a gay man. When did you know?
So, I knew I was different in the third grade.
In the third grade.
I knew I was different in the third grade, but in the third grade, you have no concept of what gay or straight is. Right. Grown folks don't talk to you about that. And I did not have the words to articulate what it was.
That you were feeling. Right. You were 8 years old.
Or sensing, or, you know, so I just used the word different. I recognized that I was different from the other boys in the third grade.
Okay.
I was able to make sense of it all in middle school.
Okay.
You know, and then you go through this period where you don't want to be it. And from like middle school to like late college, hell, graduation, I went through this whole, I am this, but I don't want to be this. How can I be this? How can I fix it, change it, wash it off, pray it off, call it off?
Because you just, it was so conflicting, like what you were feeling.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. And the world tells you that you are supposed to be, you know, you're an alpha. You're not allowed to be gay. You can't be gay. You're a black man in America. You're supposed to act like the other black men that you see on ESPN or ABC News. Like, there's no framework for this that you're trying to be. And during that time, there were, you know, what my family call sissies. Mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the only framework at that time was the sissies on TV, the RuPauls and people of that nature. And I wasn't that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was just an average round the way boy that was gay. And luckily after graduation of college, college gave me the tools to be able to tell the world to kiss my ass, and I figured it all out.
Right.
And got grounded in who I am, and you know, the rest is history. But I knew in third grade, I got comfortable after college graduation.
What was the conversation like when you had to tell your parents, your family?
So, you know, my mom actually asked me. My mom asked in college, I wasn't ready to tell, but I made a vow to myself that if ever they ask, I will not lie.
Okay.
And my mom asked me one day, her car broke down. I had given her a ride to Walmart to get groceries, and she came outside and she said, I need to ask you something.
Did you know?
I knew. Mm-hmm. I felt what she wanted to ask me. Mm-hmm. And when we, and my little brother and sister in the house, when we got outside to the car, she's like, you know, so how you doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I just spent 3 hours with you. Like, your first question shouldn't be how I'm doing. She's right. Like, how your car holding up? Is everything on the job going well? I was like, yeah, Mom, what's up? And she said, well, you know, some people in the family are saying, and I don't really know how to ask you this. And then I said, you want to know if I'm gay? Yes. Wow. Real fast. It was hard for me to say, but I needed to get it out too, because my nerves and anxiety was boiling over. And I said, yes. And she just started crying. She just had this meltdown. And she went from distraught to angry. And she was upset for 2 years. You know, it was a 2-year process, but she had to kind of reconcile her beliefs and get over it, because she was in the process of losing her son by being so, I don't support this. This ain't how I'm raised. You going to hell. And she had to realize my son means more to me than these social constructs and these things I've been taught. So let me get with the program.
Yeah.
And finally she did.
Yeah. Yeah. And she recently passed away.
She did.
2 years ago. Uh-huh. What was your relationship prior to her passing?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. We didn't have the best relationship. Mm-hmm. We were close, and my mother was my biggest fan, but we bumped heads a lot. You know, we had that father and son relationship. Well, we would argue with one another.
You mean mother and son?
My mother and son. Yeah, yeah. Father and son. Mother and son relationship. Well, we would hang up the phone on one another and not talk for 3 and 4 months at a time. But one thing I must say is that there was never any doubt in either one of our minds that one loved the other. Just personality wise, I think we were so much of the same person that we did bump heads a whole lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what about your father? Cause your parents divorced when you were two months old.
Mm-hmm.
And so you went back and forth, and uh-huh. then you ended up staying with your father.
So, you know, they had a traditional, custody situation. Mama have you during the week, daddy get you every weekend and holidays. Mm-hmm. So we did that in summers.
Okay.
Until I was about 14 years old. 14, me and my mama had an episode. She wanted to whoop me. And lady, I'm a grown ass man. I ain't getting no whooping in this bad boy today. I went and locked myself in the bathroom. And she called my daddy and said, you better come get him before I kill him.
Wow.
And I stayed in that bathroom until I heard my daddy blow that horn outside. And when I ran outside, my clothes were scattered all in the lawn, like that scene from Waiting to Exhale.
Yeah.
I walk outside, my daddy picking up my clothes like he picking cotton out the yard. And was like, boy, what did you do? Get in this car. And I lived with him junior year of high school through college.
What's your relationship like with your father?
You know, right now we're touch and go. You know, my father can be an asshole at times, you know what I'm saying? And he's one of those people where what he says goes, mm-hmm. and if you ain't on his train and with where that train going, you got to get off of it. So now that I'm a grown-ass man, I've just opted, I don't like where your train going, so I'm going to go ahead and get off your train,
yeah.
and I'm going to drive my own. But we very much love each other. It's just, you can't have too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. But I very much love my father. He very much loves me. And we talk holidays. But, you know, I do
so
go
you know,
2 to 3 months without talking to him.
Oh.
Yeah. I do go 2 to 3 months without talking to him. But I talk to my stepmama like twice a week.
Oh, okay.
And my sister.
And they're still married?
Yeah, they're still married.
Okay.
So he knows what's going on with me. I know what's going on with him. put it this way, we're just not friends.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if my father was not my father, he was just some random guy that I met.
He wouldn't be your friend.
We just wouldn't be friends.
And it's okay. Yeah. And it's like, you know, and sometimes people, you know, of course you look at Facebook messages and all this stuff. I'm riding out with my mom. I'm riding, you know.
That ain't us.
That ain't everybody's that ain't reality. Us. That's ain't not. Us. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Our thing is more, you know, we got to get this family reunion together. I need $400 for the ribs. You got it?
Yeah.
Daddy, I wired you the money. There it is. You know what I'm saying? We get in and we come together when we need to. But personality-wise, we're just not friends. We're just not. And I toiled over it for a while because social media, the TV tells you you're supposed to have this Leave It to Beaver type family situation. And I don't. You know what I'm saying? And it's okay. It's no lack of love, but we just not friends.
Yeah, and it is like I've said, it is okay. Mm-hmm. It is okay. Let's go back. Now we are here together because we have gotten to know each other on an entirely different level, being that we both are on an amazing new show coming out September 11th on TV One and local stations in 12 different markets across
you
the country.
Plug, baby.
Come on
Sister
now.
Circle.
Sister Circle. Yes. And I have to be honest with you, when I saw that you were coming into audition, I didn't know. I thought that they were going to have Funky Dineva on. I was like, so what are we doing here? So I did have a preconceived thought about that. But baby, when I saw you on that set, I was like, wow. Wow. And so now I understand the transition that you're talking about going through. You want people to see that. Because when people see, let me tell you something. When people see that side of you, Q, it's going to blow some people's minds.
And a lot of people don't know. You know, that's a branding issue I'm going to call it an issue, but that's a branding situation on my part. Because you're right. Dineva is a very acquired taste. It's a character. And see, that's what it is. I used to get offended back in the day because people used to be like, Derrick J. Lawrence, Funky Dineva, those Atlanta fags. And I used to get offended because I'm like, y'all, Funky Dineva's not a real person.
Right.
Funny story. Even my mama thought I was walking around Atlanta with wigs
with
and lipstick
purse
on.
And stuff.
Right.
You don't do that.
Right. You know, and not that anything's wrong with
it. Yeah, but that's not what you do.
But that's not what I do. It strictly is a character. And the dilemma that I ran into was people thought that Funky Dineva was a real person.
Oh, wow.
Not understanding that she's a character. So, yeah, people are going to be shocked. And believe it or not, Sister Circle, I got so fed up with people thinking that Funky Dineva was a real person. When Underground came out and I started doing my video reviews for Underground, I did like one or two with the wig on. Then my conscious card kicked in and I said, I call my own self Dineva, Lord. I can't expect y'all to figure it out. I can't figure it out.
It's okay.
I said to myself, Q, slavery is too serious of a subject for you to be a black man sitting up here with a wig and lipstick on. And so I took the wig off just when I started doing my Underground reviews, and it was the first time people saw me without the wig. And I'm going to be quite frank with you, I hid behind Funky Dineva because being in social media, it's not easy having people attack the real you. People could say all they want about Funky Dineva and it wouldn't bother me because I know that that's not a real person. You don't know me, you're not talking to me. But when I take that wig off, you're dealing with Q. And I didn't know if I would be strong enough to handle the criticism. And it hurt at first sometimes when people say something negative, but those Underground videos are what led me to taking off the wig. And when it was time for Sister Circle, one of the producers, Georgia Dawkins, she showed our EP, Helen, my Funky Dineva videos with the wig and the lipstick. And Helen said, this is funny, this is great, but I can't do anything with this. And she said, hold one second. She showed her the other videos where I had taken the wig off and showed Q. Now we're cooking.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Bring them in.
Bring them in. And the rest was history. So making that transition and making that conscious choice to take this wig off, get serious, and show people another side of you really paid off for me because it was only like 6 to 8 months that I had done that I got the audition.
Yeah.
You know? And had it not been for that, Georgia wouldn't have had anything to have shown Helen that would have allowed her to take me serious and see that I'm funny, but this brother's got a little depth to him as well.
Yeah, a lot of depth. I know we're on this journey together, but all of us, each of us has you know, that end goal. Like, what is it that we want to get out of this life? Have you figured that out?
I do. I know what I want.
What do you want?
I want a nighttime talk show.
Mm-hmm.
I want a nighttime talk show that's a cross between Wendy Williams, Arsenio Hall, and Chelsea Lately.
Love it.
I want the hot topics and gossip of Wendy. I want the celebrity interviews of Chelsea Lately with the fun, off-the-cuff, uncensored. And I want the musical guest aspect of Arsenio Hall.
Well, you already have it. That's what you want.
That's what I want.
I love it. Mm-hmm. What a perfect springboard we all have with this opportunity coming up. Again, September 11th. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Check it out. Okay, so in 2007, you became a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Long journey. To that moment. Did Alpha Phi Alpha choose you, or did you choose Alpha Phi Alpha?
That is a good question. I think I chose Alpha.
Okay.
Then Alpha accepted me. I chose Alpha, then Alpha refined me.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you something. Coming from Miami, Florida, baby, I was ghetto as all get up.
I love my Miami people. Come on now.
And here's what's weird. You know, I was that kid, again, not being exposed to professional people, not being exposed to Greek life prior to college. I didn't know nothing about it when I got to school. And I was like, that junk dumb.
Mm-hmm.
This junk stupid. Ain't nobody finna do this to me. Ain't nobody finna make me bad nothing. I ain't doing that.
Right, right.
They would be strolling on the yard and I'd be standing in the way. I was the kid that wouldn't move.
Oh, you get your ass beat like that.
I was that person. That's how ignorant I was. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I ain't moving. Let them go around me. I'm somebody too. They think that, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you what happened. Some of my best friends from freshman year in the dorm were getting missing every night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, where are these fools at? Like, I know we said we was going to the sub shop today or the on-campus comedy show. Where are they at?
Right.
And eventually they broke down and told me that they were aspirants,
mm-hmm.
and then they were going off doing some activities.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I want to do some activities. I didn't even know what these activities were, but I felt left out.
Mm-hmm.
And after they got missing and I'm following behind them and I started exploring, I was like, okay,
oh, wow,
this really does fit my personality. These brothers, I watched these brothers' campus involvement, so on and so forth, and I want to be like them.
Wow.
And so that's why I say I chose Alpha,
mm-hmm.
but Alpha refined me.
Mm-hmm. In what ways did it refine you?
You know, because my father and I's relationship hadn't always been the best, and because my father did have blue-collar employment, Alpha taught me how to tie a tie.
Hmm.
Alpha taught me how to shave. Alpha taught me this is how you sit when you're delivering a speech. This is how you address an audience. We don't use this word in public. We open doors for women.
Mm-hmm.
We are scholars.
Mm-hmm.
We don't wear lime green shirts and lime pink matching shoes with yellow shoelaces in them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We go to Brooks Brothers and get us a nice suit and a nice tie. So that's what I mean by Alpha refined me. You know what,
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? We're
mm-hmm.
not loud in public being boisterous and cursing and carrying on where it can hinder us. And then most definitely, we're better than the Q's, the Sigmas,
you better stop.
The Iotas, and all the rest
of
them.
This platform is for everyone, darling. I love it. But of course, you're going to love on your own.
And shout out to the whole D9. Y'all know it's all love. Listen, somebody said something to me one time that I took with me. They was like, after you leave undergrad, it's all Greek.
It is. It really is. I mean, the things that, you know, you go through, I can't believe they did it, and why they over here. You know, we're Black people, and guys, we got to come together. Okay. Yeah, and that's what the Cool Sore podcast is all about. So what is your definition of cool?
Cool. My definition of cool would be a natural, innate essence of just being. You know what I'm saying? I love a line from Maya Angelou's poem, Phenomenal Woman, believe it or not, I'm a man, but she says, I walk into a room just as cool as I please.
Yeah.
They swarm around me, a hive of honeybees.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Cool is just an essence. It's something that you can't learn, you can't emulate, you just exude it. And either you have it or you don't.
Yeah.
And the Alphas, we got it, baby.
I absolutely love it. So I know that, you know, while you're transitioning from, you know, your brand is transitioning, how can people find you? Like, social media wise, are you still pushing Funky Not Even?
Most
like, where are
listen,
you?
Yeah. I will never neglect or not maintain the bridge that got me here. Funky Dineva ain't going nowhere. But now we're just creating a second brand, the Quentin Latham brand.
Love
you know,
that.
So as of now, you can still find Funky Dineva in her full glory. All social media platforms, Funky Dineva, FunkyDineva.com, so on and so forth. In the upcoming weeks, prior to our debut, September 11th, you know, you'll start to find the Quentin Latham social media handles, the Quentin Latham pictures, press kit, bio.
I love
it. Kit clips, all that kind of stuff. It's not ready yet, but it's coming. And then you'll see Quentin Latham on Sister Circle.
Yeah.
So that everyday platform.
Yeah.
You'll see. And then for those that have been following me for the 7-8 years that I've been doing this, you will be able to see the clear distinction
between the two,
Funky Dineva and Q.
Yeah. Are you excited? What feelings do you have about
I'm
this?
Overjoyed.
Yeah.
I'm overjoyed because I'm going to tell you something. Nobody ever taught me how to dream. And the dreams that I had were only within the realm of what I've seen.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? So my dream, in essence, was my father had a job that paid him, you know, $80,000. That's as far as I dreamed.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a job that pays $89,000,
you're good.
I've arrived.
Yeah.
What we're doing right now with Sister Circle is beyond my wildest imagination.
Wow.
And it's refined my ability to dream because it's like little black boy from Carroll City, little black gay skinny boy with the big pink lips from Carroll City. You're on a talk show 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to do this, Q, you might can fuck around and be an astronaut for real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or you might can be all these things that you kind of wanted to be, but you were scared to say out loud because you ain't never seen nobody do that where you come
yeah.
from.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Do you think your father will be proud?
He is.
Or do you concern? Are you
concerned?
Oh,
no, 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 no. Believe it or not, 2 days ago, I was laying in bed, hung over boots, just hung over. And my phone was going off. It was like some of my friends. And then when I finally decided to look at it, the last message was from my father. And he said, I just want to let you know how proud of you I am. May God keep you. And, you know, I'm proud of your accomplishments and your success and so on and so forth.
Wow.
And he gave me that, you know, despite the fact that he and I are not friends, he's still my father and I'm still his son. And when he saw that poster of us, my cousin Tina, my first cousin, called me and said, your daddy called me and just talked about you on the phone for like 20 minutes.
Wow.
About how proud. And I know they're going to lose it. September 11th
yes.
at 9 a.m.
Come on.
When that Sister Circle comes across that TV One and yeah. that screen flashes and they say 3, 2, 1. And I'm like, this is the first episode of the Sister Circle. I'm DJ Q and here are the ladies. You know
yes.
what I'm saying? They're going to lose it.
Yeah.
They're going to lose it.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's absolutely beautiful. Well, I certainly appreciate your time today. We've been trying to lock this thing down.
We have for a long time. We fight, but it's so funny how it happened impromptu.
Yeah.
You looked at me, I looked at you.
Let's
I was like,
go.
Let's bang this thing
let's
out.
Let's bang this yeah. thing out. And we're here at the Gathering Spot, which is you know, one of the places I record, mainly the place that I choose to record my podcast. And I'm just glad you took some time out for us. And I'm looking forward to great success along with Selena Johnson, Kiana Dancy, Quad Lunsford, and DJ Q and myself
yes,
and
indeed.
Our amazing crew. They're just absolutely amazing. So, again, thank you.
Sis, thanks for having me.
Q Latham, everybody.
Q Latham, baby. My name is Quentin Latham. Most of y'all know me as Q. Some of y'all know me as Funky Dineva Ross. And I am a cool brother of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
Ice, ice, ice. Too cold, too cold. Ice, ice, ice. The black and old gold.